Chapter 17. Room 101. Winston was much better. Weeks or months must have passed. The cell was quite comfortable, with a pillow, sheets and a blanket on the bed, and a small chair. They allowed him to wash himself sometimes in a small metal bowl. They even gave him warm water to wash with. They had given him new underwear and some clean overalls. They had pulled out the rest of his teeth and given him some false ones. He was getting regular meals. At first, he had spent most of his time lying on his bed asleep. He dreamed a lot during this time, and his dreams were always happy. He was in the golden country with his mother, with Julia, or with O'Brien, not doing anything, just sitting in the sun, talking about peaceful things. When he was awake, he did not really think about anything. He was not bored. He was happy to be alone. It was enough not to be tortured or questioned, to have good food to eat, and to be clean. As time passed, he spent less time asleep, but he still did not feel like getting up from the bed. Then he could feel himself getting stronger. Finally, he started to believe that he really was healthier, and he started to do some exercise. In a little while, he could walk 3 kilometres, which he measured by walking around his cell. As he got stronger, his mind started to work again. He had been given a small white board and a pencil, which for a long time he did not touch. Now he sat down on the bed, with the board on his knees, and he started to teach himself to be a good member of the party. He began to write down his thoughts, trying to teach his mind to think correctly and to stop thinking the wrong things. All the time, however, with one part of his mind, he wondered how soon they would shoot him. Then something terrible happened. He was dreaming. He was happy, healthy and strong. He was in the golden country, following a path across a field. He could feel the grass under his feet and the gentle sunshine on his face. At the edge of the field, he could see the place where the bird had sung. Suddenly, he was awake, sitting up in bed and filled with terror. He had heard himself cry aloud, "Julia, Julia, Julia, my love, Julia!" Winston lay back on the bed. What had he done? They would start torturing him again. He would have to start all over again. For the first time, he realized that he must not only think the correct things, but also he must feel correctly and he must dream correctly. And all the time, he must keep his hate locked inside him without being conscious that it was there. Finally, they would shoot him, and just before the bullet hit him, he would be conscious of his hate. If he could be sure of hating them as he died, he would still be free. There was the sound of boots outside the cell. The door opened and O'Brien walked in. Behind him were black uniformed guards. "Get up," said O'Brien. "Come here." Winston stood opposite him. O'Brien took Winston's shoulders between his strong hands and looked at him closely. "You are being stupid," he said. "You are improving, you are thinking in the right way now, but you have failed to make progress with the way that you feel." O'Brien was speaking quite gently to Winston. "Tell me, Winston, and remember, don't lie to me. You know that I always know if you're lying. What are your true feelings towards Big Brother?"
"I hate him."
"You hate him. Good. Then the time has come for you to take the last step. You must love Big Brother. It is not enough to obey him. You must love him." He pushed Winston towards the guards. "Room 101. He said. Winston was in a cell which was bigger than most of the ones he had been in. But he did not notice that. All he noticed was that there were two small tables in front of him. One was quite close to him, the other was further away near the door. He was sitting on a chair tied to it so tightly that he could not move anything. Something was holding his head so that he could only look straight in front of him. For a moment he was alone, then the door opened and O'Brien came in. "You asked me once what was in room 101," he said. "I told you that you knew the answer already. Everyone knows it. The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world." The door opened again. A guard came in, carrying something. He put it down on the table near the door, and because of where O'Brien was standing, Winston could not see what it was. "Everyone has a worst thing in the world," said O'Brien. "For some people, it may be death by fire, or by drowning, or by being buried alive." He had moved slightly to one side so that Winston had a better view of the thing on the table. It was a cage with a sort of mask at one end of it. In the cage, which was divided into two, there were two animals. They were rats. "For you, the worst thing in the world is rats," O'Brien went on. Immediately, Winston understood how the cage worked. The end with the mask could be put over a person's head. Then a door in one of the sides of the cage could be opened so the rats could get to the person's face.
"You can't do that,"
he cried out in terror. Then he tried to get control of his voice.
"You know that this is not necessary. What do you want me to do or say?"
"Do you remember those horrible dreams when you were standing in front of a wall of darkness, knowing there was something terrifying on the other side?" said O'Brien. "It was the rats which were there." He picked up the cage and brought it across to the table near Winston. "Rats," said O'Brien, using his schoolteacher's voice, "are meat eaters. In some parts of the city, mothers won't leave babies alone in their houses, even for 5 minutes. The rats are certain to attack them. In a short time, they will eat everything except the bones. They will also attack sick or dying people." Winston heard himself make a terrible noise. O'Brien picked up the cage and moved it nearer to Winston. It was less than a metre from his face. There was a short, sharp sound.
"I have pressed the first lever," said O'Brien. "You understand how this cage is made. The mask will fit over your head. When I press the other lever, the door of the cage will slide up. These hungry rats will come out of it like bullets. They will jump onto your face and start eating it. Sometimes they attack the eyes first. Sometimes they go straight through the cheeks and start eating the tongue."
The cage was coming nearer. Suddenly, the horrible smell of the big brown rats reached Winston's nose and he almost fainted. For a moment, he was mad with terror. Then he had an idea. He must put another human being, the body of another human being, between himself and the rats. The mask was coming closer to his face. He could feel it on his cheek. Suddenly, he was shouting wildly over and over again.
"Do it to Julia! Do it to Julia, not me! Julia! I don't care what you do to her! Tear her face off, not me! Julia, not me!"
He was falling backwards into blackness, falling through the floor, falling away, away, away from the rats. But O'Brien was still standing at his side. However, through the darkness,
he heard a short, sharp sound and knew that the cage door would not open.